We're going to do a little study on Gideon. There's a great little quote in Gideon, which we're going to see. And he was saying, "Where are Yahweh's wonders that our fathers recounted to us?" And that's a good question for all of us. Where are his wonders that our fathers who came to Egypt recounted to us? And so our objective is we should have those in our lives daily. And we're going to show you how to do that. First, we've got to do a checkup to see what we're doing, why we're not encountering those in the first place. Because most time, in many religious circles, God or all these things are histories that have no impact for today. It's something that you learn to happen, but it's not going to happen today unless it's some far-out thing. And we're going to show you that's not the case at all. So we're going to begin in Judges 2, verse 6. We've got to identify the problems first and foremost. If things are not happening the way we anticipate, or the way they happen to David, or the way they happen to Samson, and so many people, then we must do a checkup. Am I in the right place? So Judges 2, verse 6. Through 13, we're going to see. Now when Joshua had let the people go, the sons of Israel went their way, every man to his inheritance, to take possession of the land. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Yahushua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Yahushua, who has seen all the great work of Yahweh, which he had wrought for Israel. So then Yahushua, the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the bounds of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, on the mount of the north of Mount Gaasha. All that generation also were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who had not known Yahweh, nor even the work which he had wrought for Israel. So we're going to see there's a problem occurring. Verse 11, so the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh and served the Baals. For our own learning, Baal means owner or master. So it could be a husband, it could be a Baal. You know, or it could be, you know, that her husband's called him Lord, or the wife would call him Lord. And so, but it also can be in the proper name as Baal, and that would be Lord or Master. But we see what happens, so we have to look at our own lives to see if we're in that same situation where we could be serving other gods and not even know it. Go to chapter 3, verse 7, and this is just through some of the judges. Thus did the sons of Israel the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and forgot Yahweh their Elohim, and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths. Then kindled the anger of Yahweh upon Israel, and he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served this guy 8 years. So in essence, by rebelling against Yahweh, whenever we rebel against Yahweh, we're going into slavery. And so in this particular case, it was 3 years.
8 years.
Eight years. Let's see here. That's Ornel. I have another verse here. But after this judge, Othniel, we have to put the verse down. Oh yeah, verse 3:11. And this judge came in and delivered them from that 8 year of servitude, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. So this judge brought in 40 years of peace and safety. In verse 12. And here's Ehud, as you see at the top of your page. the sons of Israel again did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. So it was a 40-year span, 8 years of slavery, 40-year span, and then they forgot again. And many times the big leaders are so instrumental on cracking heads of keeping people in line. And I forget what king there was, but I think it was Josiah or Hezekiah, and they made a covenant that if anybody would not serve Yahweh, he'll be put to death. And the whole community made that covenant. I mean, that's somebody's end for it. Mm-hmm. But here's Ehud, yeah. And verse 12, and the sons of Israel again did that thing which was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh emboldened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they did a thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh. And let's see here, verse 12 and 14. And he gathered unto the sons of Ammon and Amalek, and came and smote Israel, and took possession of the city of the palm trees. So the sons of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. Back into slavery for 18 years. Now go to chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to see Deborah. And the sons of Israel again did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh when Ehud was dead. It's just always being repeated. And let's see, in chapter 5, verse 31. So perished all thine enemies, O Yahweh, but they who love thee as the going forth of the sun and his might, and the land had rest 40 years.
So where are you?
In 5, verse 31.
Oh, 31.
And so now we have another 40 years. We had 20 years of imprisonment. And that was in verse 3. I guess I didn't get that. Let's see here, 4-3. Yeah, let's go back to 4-3. And the sons of Israel made outcry unto Yahweh, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the sons of Israel heavily 20 years. So you have 20 years. Deborah came back and gave 40 years of rest. And so we have to say, what is this pattern that's going on over and over and over again? And the wonders of Yahweh, if they're not being done many times, is because of people who have turned from Yahweh. They are very religious people, and they're going to church, and they're going to synagogue or anything else, but it doesn't make any... I mean, just right now, any Orthodox Jew is rebelling against Yahweh. Even though he goes and he doesn't eat pork, he doesn't do this, doesn't make any difference. You are in absolute rebellion against Yahweh. So why would you expect wonders? Well, no, I'm not, because I'm doing what he said. No, you've rejected his son, which means you've rejected him, very simply. Now we go to, now we're being with Gideon, chapter 6. And we're going to read 1 through 6. Would somebody like to read chapter 6, verses 1 through 6? And you and your dad can. So you help him out?
Can we get started? Reading 1 through 6?
Yeah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6.
Yeah. The sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh. So Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of Midian did the sons of Israel prepare for themselves the hollows which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. And so it used to be if Israel had Shon then came up Midian and Amalek, the sons of the east, ye came up against them. And came against them and destroyed the increase of the land until thou comest unto Gazel, neither let they sustenance in Israel, nor sleep, nor ox, your for they which the castle you come up with the tents ye they used to come up with like locusts for multitude, both they and the castle were without number, so they came to the land to lay it waste. This was Israel greatly empowered because of Midian and the sons of Israel made outcry unto Yahweh.
So you always see a good pattern of making an outcry unto Yahweh. So once you've done bad, then you make an outcry unto Yahweh. And 7, and it came to pass when the sons of Israel cried unto Yahweh on account of Midian, then sent Yahweh a prophet unto the sons of Israel, who said unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I led you up out of Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of servants. Yea, I rescued out of the hand of Egypt, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, that I might drive them out from before you, and I gave unto you their land. Yea, and I said to you, I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. You must not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are about to dwell, but ye have not hearkened unto my voice. So there's the same situation where all of a sudden the prophet comes, and here's what the requirements are. Why is this badness happening to you? Watch out. Oh, wait. Because you are disobedient to Yahweh. So now we go to verse 11. Then came the messenger of Yahweh and sat down under the oak, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Caesarite, and Gideon his son was beating out wheat in the winepress to escape the notice of the Midianites. And so the messenger of Yahweh appeared unto him and said unto him, Yahweh is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And so this is such a great testimony of each one of us, what Yahweh can do to the people who are humble. To the humble and lowly he exalts. And to the mighty, he brings love. Let's see here. And Gideon said unto him, pardon my Lord, if Yahweh be with us, then wherefore hath all this befallen us? Now this is very insightful, because he and his father's house, as we will see, are worshiping pagan gods, and he doesn't get it. Why would you, if you knew you were in sin, would you be saying, why is this befalling? It'd be like you robbing a store and then asking the police, why are you after me? Mm-hmm. Well, because you're robbing a store. Well, somebody told me I could rob that store, or whatever reason you'd come up to. And so you're oblivious, and ignorance is can be a great oppressor of not having the great life that Yahweh's designed for us and for his own sake. But back to that. Let's see, if Yahweh be with us, then wherefore hath all this befallen us? And where, and this is the point, where are his wonders which our fathers have recounted to us? Are there going to be wonders done to Gideon?
Yeah.
Yes, there are. And so here's a good question. Where are the wonders? They went out with Moses.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what they could have said. And that's what we have today. They went out, those are other times, those are different times. Now we're just, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah, just a complete unbelief. But we're going to relate to Gideon. Was it not out of Egypt that Yahweh brought us up? But now hath Yahweh abandoned us and delivered us in the hand of Midian. Did Yahweh abandon them, or did they abandon Yahweh? But their perspective is, so he's made two mistakes, is why is this happening? And we're going to see he has a Baal right in his village, and an Ashtaroth pole right in his village, probably right in front of his house. and doesn't connect it. And this is very true today. You know, we've got people praying to Mary. You know, we've got people praying to St. Christopher. We got people teaching, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but these are just one God. And so you have to say, they're right. Well, wait a minute, I'm a Catholic. I go to church every day. I pray the rosary, and I pray to Mary 10 times a day. Why isn't this coming to pass? Well, because Yahweh says that's necromancy. You're praying to the dead. What? You know, that's not what my church teaches. And so obviously in this same situation, he's getting wrong information at the same time. And so we're going to see about it being abandoned. So we'll go to 2 Kings. We're going to be coming back here. 2 Kings 21. But we're going to other places next, so you can leave the place. 2 Kings. Now, Melania, you're supposed to have already been there, so make sure you're always ahead of us.
2 Kings what?
2 Kings chapter 21, verse 11. We're talking about abandonment. So 11 through 15, would you read that, Wendy?
Because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath made these abominations, hath done that which is wicked, more than all which the Amorites did who were before him, and hath caused even Judah to sin with his manufactured gods, or Elohims. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, God of Israel, behold me, bringing in calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth thereof, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipeth out a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will abandon the remnant.
There's a word, and will abandon. He says, you abandon. Yahweh abandoned them because because they abandoned Yahweh. And will abandon. Go ahead, verse 14.
And will abandon the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a plunder to all their enemies, because they have done the thing that is wicked in mine eyes, and have become such as to provoke me to anger from the day when their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even until this day.
Okay, so will Yahweh abandon us? Well, absolutely. And people say today, unconditional love, not in the Bible. No matter what you do, Yahweh will, whether you're bad or good, Yahweh will love you neither more or less. Just chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. No such thing. Now we go to 2 Samuel, chapter 6. We're going to see a little bit about being ignorant. So many times, and that's what obviously it appears, that Gideon was ignorant about the things of Yahweh. David was an anointed king. Yahweh anointed him. So this guy was very special. But we're going to find out he was ignorant, and he was going to do something he thought would be very pleasing to Yahweh, but it was not. So his heart was not wrong. He's not trying to rob a store. So we're going to see in chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. And it came to pass in the 480th year, by the coming forth out of the sons of Israel,
You should be there. You're the chief.
Yeah, I should be. 2 Samuel 6. I thought that wasn't right.
That's
1 through 11. And David once more gathered together all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. Then David and all the people who were with him arose and went beyond Baal Judah to bring out from thence the Ark of Elohim, the name whereof is called by the name of it's called the name of Yahweh of hosts, who inhabiteth the cherubims thereupon. Very noble work. So they carried out the Ark of Elohim in a new wagon and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, who was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were driving the new wagon. We're going to find out, no, you don't put the Ark of the Covenant in a wagon. Did David know this?
No.
No, he didn't. Was he king of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was. Was he ignorant of what Yahweh commanded Moses? Yes, he was. And did his intentions make any difference?
No.
No, it didn't. So they brought it up out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeon, with the ark of Elohim, and Ahio was going before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel were dancing for joy before Yahweh. So this is a great time. With all boldness, and with song, and with lyres, and with harps, and with timbrels, and with sistrums, and with cymbals. And with, I mean, you got this whole music convoy. And when they came as far as its threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah thrust forth his hand unto the ark of Elohim, and took hold of it. The oxen were restive, which means that he's stopping it from probably sliding around. Then was kindled the anger of Yahweh against Uzziah, and Elohim smote him there for the error, so that he died there by the ark of Elohim. Well, this is going bad really quick. And it was a sadness unto David, for that Yahweh had broken in with a breach against Uzziah. Therefore called he that place Perez Uzziah, as it is called to this day. And David was afraid of Yahweh on that day, and said, how can the ark of Yahweh come into me? And we do know, and which we're going to find out, in 1 Chronicles 15, chapter 15, verse 1, the right way, not the right way, the way that Yahweh commanded it to be done.
Which is the right way.
Which is the right way. And so by their ignorance, whether it was good intentions or not, you know, we got people, you know, in the Christian circles that are full of good intentions who are in absolute idolatry. And they don't even realize it. And maybe they do. I don't know. 15:1, and he made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of Elohim, and pitched for it a tent. Then said David, none must carry the ark of Elohim save the Levites. Yes, for of them did Yahweh make choice to bear the ark of Yahweh and to attend it unto times age abiding. Yes, and that's in, you know, Deuteronomy 10:8, 31:25, and Joshua 3:3. The Levites are the only ones who are supposed to touch that ark. And it was not supposed to be on a wagon, which we'll see. Let's see here. So David convoked all Israel and Jerusalem to bring up the ark of Yahweh unto the place whereof he had prepared for it. Now we go to verse 12. And said unto them, ye are the chiefs of the fathers of the Levites. Hallow yourself, ye and your brethren. So shall you bring up the ark of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, unto the place I have prepared for it. Because at the first, ye did not bring Yahweh our Elohim broke forth against us, because we sought him not in the appointed way. There he explains it. This is not going to be explained in Kings. So the priests and the Levites hauled themselves, and so they, you know, it wasn't just anybody. They had to haul themselves and make sure there was nothing that defiled.
And hallow themselves means
to separate themselves and make sure they hadn't touched, you know, blood. They hadn't touched a dead person. If they had, they had to cleanse themselves, and so there's just so many things you have to do. You know, obviously you can't touch leopards or anything else. To bring up the ark of Yahweh, Elohim, Israel. And the sons of the Levites bear the ark of Elohim, just as Moses commanded, according to the word of Yahweh, where?
Shoulders.
On their shoulders, not on a wagon. Not supposed to be in a wagon. With their staves upon them. There, so there's a lesson. Okay, so ignorance is no excuse for the law. And so if we're not seeing the wonders, the first thing we should be doing is taking a checkup to see if we're doing what this book is saying and not what the church is saying. You know, so we got to get educated on what Yahweh has to say. Now we're going to go back to Judges 6, verse 14. Now, this is really great. Now, there's four cases. Now, let me just go over what they call the verb and the perfect state. So Hebrew doesn't have past, present, and future tense. There's no tenses in Hebrew, in the verbs. And that's only in the verbs, you know. And so they have what they call the imperfect state or the perfect state. And the imperfect means It isn't done. So that would be our present and future. The perfect state is it's done, which that would be the past. It should only be the past, not the future. But Yahweh is going to insert a future event and place the verb in the perfect state. And that's called, I think John Shaynard said, when that prophetic perfect. And so that's an absolute, when somebody says, like, if a commander came to Tim and said, we know that, and if he hasn't done something, and he comes up and says, Sodders, move that Jeep. And he would say, it has been done. Would mean absolutely it's going to be done. It has been done, or it's done. But it hasn't been done, it's still there. But that figure of speech is saying there's no wiggle room whatsoever in this. So Yahweh is going to put some things in the perfect state in verse 14. So I'm going to read it from the Youngs. And the only place that I know that you can actually see the perfect state in the Old Testament is Young's Holy Bible, which is done like in 1888. So he's going to keep it in there. There's no future tense in the Old Testament. So you can read your Bibles, but this is how it reads. And Yahweh turned unto him, to Gideon, and said, go in this thy power, and thou hast saved Israel out of the hand of Midian. Have not I sent thee? It's not that you shall save them. You have saved them. So that's very reassuring when the Creator says, you've already done it.
Yeah.
So that just means, this thing is done. It's like, I just got to pick up the check. Now we go to verse 15. And he said unto him, pardon, O my Lord, how shall I save Israel? Lo, my thousand is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in the house of my father. Great credentials. Who else was the youngest?
David.
Who Joseph. Else was very poor?
Joseph was youngest. Saul poor.
Yeah, King Saul. He says, aren't we the smallest of all tribes? So King Saul was chosen. So when everybody looks at, who am I? You're the one. The person is me. You're not the one. That really comes down to it. Now we're going to look at the perfect state again in verse 16. And Yahweh said unto him, because I am with thee, thou hast smitten the Midianites as one man. It's already done. Okay, that's very encouraging. Oh yeah, I forgot. I will be with you, because I am with you. Who else was that said to? Moses. So keep your hand here, Exodus 3, verse 11. Melania, you right? You're not there? Okay. We'll go ahead and read 3, 11 through 12. And Moses said unto Elohim, who am I that I should go up unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Sounds just like Gideon, right? And he says, what?
I
will be with thee. That's it. With Yahweh, one person said, I think you and Yahweh are a majority. Very simple. Now we go to verse 25. We go into a lot of different things that happen.
25 of what?
Chapter 6, verse 25.
Of what?
Judges. Same Judges. Oh, sorry. Back to Judges. 6:25. And 25 and 26, they've got things in the perfect state also. Future events in the perfect state. And it cometh to pass on that night that Yahweh said to him, take the young ox which is in thy, which is to thy father, and the second bullock of 7 years, and thou hast thrown down the altar of Baal, which is to thy father, and the shrine which is by it, thou dost cut down. But this says thou hast thrown down. So this is not an option. This thing's going down.
It's down.
26. And thou hast built an altar to Yahweh thy Elohim on the top of this stronghold by the arrangement, and hast taken the second bullock and caused to ascend a burning offering with the wood of the shrine which thou cuttest down. So we see Yahweh says, You won the battle. He says, you have smitten the Midianites. You have torn down the altar, the Baal altar, and you have built an altar for me, and you have taken that second bullock and sacrificed it. Any questions? And the man says, yes, sir, it's done. And then we go to verse 27 to 32. This is what we must end up doing, is get rid of our idols. We got to pull down the altars if we want the wonders to behold. And so, Melania, why don't you read 27, you know, and I'll stop you. Keep reading. You got to sit, read aloud now.
So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as Yahweh had spoken unto him. And so it was that he took too much feared in, I mean, the house of his father and the men of the city to do it by day and did it by night.
Stop there. So obviously that's fine. You didn't want to do it in the daytime. Do it by night? That's fine. 28.
And the men of the city rose up early.
Now, who are these men? Israelites.
Right.
They are supposed to be worshipers of Yahweh. I mean, you don't, you know, they're not Midianites. Those are the guys who are persecuting you. These are Israelites. These are church people. So what would happen if somebody went to the Catholic Church and knocked down Mary's statue? Well, think about that. I mean, this is what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, and who's going to get mad at this Christian? It's going to be the pagans, in essence. They are the Catholics who are worshiping this. So, verse 28, go ahead.
And the men of the city rose up early in the morning, and lo, the altar of Baal had been overthrown, and the scattered stem.
The sacred stem
that was by it had been cut down upon the altar and that had been built.
No, you skipped. Oh. And the second bullock had been caused to ascend upon the altar that had been built. So they said to one another, who had done this thing? And they inquired, made search, and it was said, Gideon, son of Joash, had done this thing. So men of the city said unto Joash, bring forth thy son that he may die. Now just think of this. Hey, there's something called the Trinity. Who died for, many people died for rejecting the Trinity. And Michael Servetus is one. And Calvin had him burned at the stake in Geneva, Switzerland in the 1500s. Well, this is no different. You would say, these guys were Israelites, and for this guy not cutting down Baal and cutting down the sacred stem, they want to kill him instead of thank him. And so that's how corrupted the whole system had become. Let's see here.
31.
Yeah, where am I? 38. And, yeah. And Josiah said unto all who stood by him, will you plead for Baal, or will you save him? At least his dad had some guts, but this was his dad's statues.
Yeah.
This is an altar and statue. Whosoever pleadeth for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. So he turned it. If an Elohim he is, let him plead for himself, because one hath overthrown his altar. So he was called on that day Jerubbaal Baal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he had overthrown his altar. So, you got to pull down the idols, and that is, you know, the dead are alive, praying to the dead. You know, and that's an idol. You know, the Trinity is an idol. Mary's an idol. You know, many things in the church. And we have to build the altars to Yahweh. And one of them is the nine manifestations of spirit, or Ruach. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Do them. The church says you can't do them. We have to go back to power, which is faith. Faith equals power, where the church says, you know, you can't do things like that. We just saw that in the teaching a couple of weeks ago about the prosperity of Moses. And one another thing very interesting is how Yahweh's name and his identity has been erased from Christianity. It really has been. Yahweh doesn't exist. And so when people are saying the Lord, most of the time they're always talking about Yahushua. And how about bringing back Yahweh and putting him in the fulcrum where he is number one and the only number one, the Father of all creation? You have paganized yourself where all of a sudden Jesus is the creator. Jesus, you pray to Jesus, you're praying to the Holy Spirit, and you don't think there's consequences for these? You don't think the hand of Yahweh is not with you in those particular areas? Of course not. And by removing those and doing what we're told to do, we may behold his wonders which were done in Egypt. And so that's what our objective is to be. Now we go to verse 33 and 34. This is so great. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east were gathered together, and they crossed over a pitch in the vale of Jezreel. But the Ruach of Yahweh, this is great, clothed Gideon. And this is how, if you look at the notes that Rotham has, it's like the Spirit of Yahweh enwrapped him like a suit of armor or a coat of mail. Isn't that great? So now Gideon, the mighty man of valor, why are you mighty man of valor? Because you're going to actually do what I say. I'm with you. So that's where all the strength's coming from. I'm going to enwrap you where nothing can harm you. And like I told you, they are defeated because you built my altar and you sacrificed my bullock. And so the Midianites are done. They're smoked. It's history.
Keep saying messengers. I'll go also back there. Messengers
31. But the Spirit of Yahweh clothed Gideon, so he blew with a horn, and Abazir was gathered after him. Now, where else are we clothed? And you're going to look at Luke 24:49. This is great. And lo, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until you be clothed from on high with what?
Power.
So, Ruach, Spirit, is power. It always is power. And it'll say, you'll be clothed with power, that is to say, Spirit. They're one and the same. Now we go to Acts 1:8. See that. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost cometh. Pardon me? Oh, I thought you said something.
No, someone
Acts 8 what?
Acts 1:8.
1:8.
But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit cometh upon you, and ye shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and as far as the othermost part of the land. So power, so Gideon was enclosed with power. And we go back to Judges 7. Let's see one other place. Another place where it's in the perfect state. Chapter 7, verse 11. And I'll read it here. Judges 7, verse 11. And watch this. And thou hast heard what they speak, and afterwards are thy hands strengthened, and thou hast gone down against the camp. And he goeth down, he and Perah, his young men, unto the extremity of the 50s who are in the camp. But look at that. Verse 11 again. So shalt thou hear. It says, and thou hast heard what they speak. Okay. They shall say what they speak, and afterwards are thy hand strengthened, and thou hast gone down. And you see, and afterwards shall thy hands grow strong, and that and thou shalt go down. Thou hast gone down against the camp. So we're looking at there's two perfect states on those verbs in Judges 7:11. So that's the rest of the perfect that are done for future events. Very important when Yahweh looks at us and talks to us and says, okay, you have split the Red Sea, or you've done this, or whatever it comes down to be. We got to take that seriously. I thought it was a good illustration of wonders. And my co-host tonight is going to be Tim Saunders, so he can come up here. He's going to finish the teaching.
Wake him up. I'm awake.
Go ahead and tell him your testimony about Holly.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I thought that was a good illustration.
Holly was working the other day, and she...
Holly's his daughter.
Yeah, that's my daughter, and she was working at Cracker Barrel, and she was driving home, and all of a sudden she realized that her big diamond on her engagement ring was missing. And so, of course, you'd immediately panic. You know, that's something you're, oh, boy. But a lot of sentiment in there, and it's obviously something that means a lot to her value-wise as well. And so she calls Donna, and Donna calls me, and we pray about it and speak in tongues about it. And we felt Yahweh telling us to tell her, go back to Cracker Barrel, and you will find it. Go back in there, you're going to find it. Now, you're talking about a diamond on a floor of a restaurant. And anybody who's worked in the restaurant business, you go back in the back where they're prepping food,
It's not pretty.
No, it's not pretty at all. And the whole thing was, is as I was speaking in tongues and praying about it, is you will find it, and you will give great glory to Yahweh for doing this. And so she does, and she goes back in there, and within a couple minutes, she goes right in there and went right to where the diamond was, and there it is on the ground, and there was broken glass around it, there was all kinds of other stuff, and she went right in there and found it.
Wow.
And I was just like, that's it. And so it's one of those things where Chuck and I were talking about that, where when we get into that point to where we're, you know, if it was me, I thought to myself, boy, if I lost something that was really valuable to me, that really meant a lot to me, I'd try to squelch myself, try to get myself to be at peace. And that's easier said than done when it's something that, and so that's where, like, for the rest of the body, where we can jump in and do those things. And I did. I'm like going, Donna, this is what we do. We stand in, and Holly goes in there. And so she did. And I said, but it was a two part that you will find it, A, and you'll give great glory.
Amen.
So she did.
Yeah.
So.
Yay!
Just a little different here. There you go.
Tripods.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and close with a prayer and a prophecy for the people who are listening. But the important thing is you've got to manifest Holy Spirit. You've got to operate in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings, because that's what the word says. So all these great wonders through Moses or anybody else were operated through faith, as with Yahushua, his disciples, when he says, go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. You know, we're at that same calling. So if that's not happening to us, one thing, we're not walking into faith situations, what the Word tells us to do. So if I'm not speaking in tongues, interpreting, and prophesying, you know, that's the first and foremost that I've got to do. And then be looking for those faith principles. And when something happens, just don't go to the negative and say, whoops, I lost it. It's so sad, I lost my ring. No, go into second gear and say, okay, get other people to start praying about it. And that is faith in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that no, it's not over yet. So even if somebody dies, it's not over yet. And then I look at Isaiah and Elijah, not Isaiah, but Elijah and Elisha, and they're laying on top of the person, they're walking around to the person. You know, they don't know how they're going to do it.
And a woman.
But they're in there, and they're doing it. I mean, they're acting. There's action. If they would have said, so sorry, the body's cold. I mean, this boy's dead. Yeah. But they did have the revelation. Not that they necessarily didn't have the revelation, but they went into action anyway. And because they did it, that these children will live. And we're talking about today.
Yep.
And so even if it doesn't happen, well, Yahweh's going to give you great points for getting out there and doing it. Just like Peter. Peter mm-hmm. walked on the water and sunk. Who cares?
Yeah,
he walked on the water.
He walked on the water. Yeah. That's great.
You know he's clowning everybody else in the boat.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody in the water. Everybody else had to say, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
What did it feel like?
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, so they would say, you sunk. Our ministers today would be saying that.
Yeah.
You know, too bad. But instead of saying, congratulations, man, you're my inspiration. Yeah. It's kind of like what Elijah said about Cayman. So Cayman went on the swing shot, which is a horrific ride, And Elijah said, "You're the bravest kid I know, Caiman." So that was a good compliment. And you're like, right on. Okay, so we'll call in. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. And we thank you for your word that we can inspire and rejuvenate us. Instead of waiting for the action, we go ahead and engage.
Amen.
We have to engage in order for Father to operate. So put us in the situations where we can walk by faith. So we thank you for these words, according to 1 Corinthians 14. As you walk in faith, upon my word, look and meditate upon the promises that I've installed in those words to these famous individuals that we all know about. Put those instances in your brain, meditate upon those, see yourself doing those same things in order that other wonders, my wonders, can be exhibited through your lifetime and around you for those who have a heart to believe.